Coming up on Sunday, May 15th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Chinatown on Mott Street, south of Canal Street, it's going to be the annual Asian and Pacific American Heritage Celebration, and China America Radio is pleased to be a part of that. So we're going to be giving you a little sneak preview of some of the folks you're going to be able to see and visit with at that event. Our first guests come from the Japanese community. I'd like to welcome Takashi Ikazawa and Helen Moss, who are going to be presenting some Japanese dance at the event. And tell me what you're representing, what your performance is, what your group is all about, and the name and a little background.
Okay, thank you, Steve. It's very interesting and exciting opportunity for us. We are Razorbox, a Japanese cultural center located in the Queens, Long Island City. And we were founded in 2011, June. And as of course a cultural center first, but we have only our classes. We offer now 11 different classes, but at that time we offer only 3 classes, including Japanese classical dance. Our master is here, Ms. Helen Moss. And we have now art gallery section, also a cafe, and lots of projects outside Razorbox space. But in this festival, in the Asian Heritage Festival, we are going to provide our Japanese classical dance, also Ikebana, which is a Japanese floral arrangement demonstrations.
So from having classes, you were able to get some people together to form actually a company that can perform.
Exactly.
So that's how the growth has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Helen, tell us your background, your involvement a little bit.
I started more than 30 years ago. My teacher's name is Fujima Nishiki, Miyoko Watanabe, and she was born in Los Angeles, and she came to New York in 1961 and founded Ichi Fujikai Dance Association, and I'm part of that organization. I have 2 classes of my own, and I became Fujima Nishiki no is the name I took, which represents my master's name, and plus no stands for like humble, humility.
Okay.
So, and now I have 3 classes actually. I have the one at Razorbox, and then I have the one at the Center for Remembrance and Sharing in Manhattan, in near 14th Street.
Which your home originally? Where do you?
I was born in Gießen, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Product of World War II.
I see.
And I grew up on the shore of Virginia and the coast of Virginia, and then migrated up the coast to New York City.
Where did your initial interest in Japanese culture and events trigger?
Well, it's strange. My husband was just working part time at the Nippon Club. This was quite many years ago, and my son and I went to an event there. And the ladies dressed him in kimono, and he went upstairs and came back down with a fan and said, "Mom, I joined the dance class." So I went a few Saturdays, and I decided I didn't want to sit there for several hours, so I joined the dance class too. And it's interesting to note that one of the dancers looked at me and said, "This one is hopeless." So nobody
well,
is hopeless.
Apparently not. Takashi, what is your background? Where did you grow up? What's your early life like?
I was born in Tokyo, Japan, and grew up there till 20 years. Right after I graduated from college. Well, actually, while in college, I already started my, kind of helped my friend's venture company, which is a music company. So I'm kind of type of entrepreneur. And after I came to the United States, right after I graduated from college, which is 11 years ago, I started working in a Japanese international bank as a credit analyst. And, to learn the basic, kind of general business, and also to make connections with the people living in the U.S., also Japanese people who are working in the U.S., and I stopped working out there and then started to pursue my MBA in a Brooke College in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, lots of class, all of the classmates. My major was entrepreneurship and MBA. So most of the classmates, of course, are looking for opportunities to start their own businesses and finding a new businesses. We made lots of projects together and apply for competitions and. But most of them were actually online businesses, which is a trend, of course.
Just like online radio.
Exactly. Well, for me, of course, I was one of them, actually. I tried to make, next Facebook or Google and, how to exist in the future, how to be, kind of IPO or... But I ended up actually starting this kind of old style of businesses, cultural center, hanging the art pieces over the walls and providing classes, not only online classes, but people can take classes in person with the instructors.
Where is the Razorbox?
Our Razorbox is located in the Queensboro Plaza. In Long Island City. And
is there a website or is there somewhere people can find out information if they want to look up what other events or classes are be going on there?
Razorbox.com.
Spell that, please.
Razorbox.
Oh, that's easy.
Yes.
Razorbox.
And tell them what it means.
Well, yeah, Razorbox is the name created from the mashup of the words resonate and box.
Okay.
So it means that we put all kinds of people who are conversant with, dedicated to, and influenced by Japanese culture in the box and shake it up to create the future Japanese culture through the collaborations. So collaboration is the key word, actually, for us. Well, we don't want to just show the Japanese culture created by only the Japanese nationalities here in New York. Since it's in New York, there are so many people from all over the world coming here and then working together. So why not, in the Japanese culture also, we should work together with the non-Japanese or, people also to work to create something new that, don't exist even in Japan. And, my goal is to, of course, to offer these kind of opportunities to the people who are living here. I want to see what's going on in the future about the Japanese culture. Well, the culture that we see now as a Japanese culture is, of course, different from the ones from the, 50 years ago.
Of course.
15 years ago or 10 years ago. But at the same time, of course, it's going to be different in 10 years, 15 years, or 100 years in the future.
When people see performance, what will they see?
We had dance performance and music performance, or sometimes a comedy show, or movie night, or all kinds of events relating to Japanese culture.
Well, I find that... actually teaching and seeing my students on stage is just as satisfying to me as dancing myself. So I did dance quite a bit, and I still dance. And I dance with my students also, and I enjoy that.
How many performances do you do during the course of a year? How many invitations do you get to participate in other outside events?
First question, the number of the performances. Well, we have events... about two or three times in a month. We have a lot of kinds of events, including cooking classes, cooking events, or dance, or music. So, every time, people come in our space, we have something new.
Well, I want to thank both of you very much for offering to participate this year in the celebration of Asian Heritage Month. It's a wonderful opportunity to bring a lot of the Asian cultures into one place. On May the 15th, under one roof, we have everybody. Helen, take a moment and describe what they will see, what kind of dance they're going to be seeing at the performance.
This is very traditional Japanese classical dance in the style called the Soke Fujima style, and that's a style that originated grew out of the Kabuki theater. So it is totally traditional.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't want anybody to think we were dancing in tights.
Well, I think that's to be expected. But when you say kabuki theater, that automatically rings the familiar bell. What about costumes, makeup, and all of that? Do you go the whole route?
We dance in kimono right now because usually we don't have a great place to change or to get made up or anything. And so we're mainly dancing in coordinated kimono.
Takashi, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to come visit you someday since it's right down the street from our studio. And Helen, you've got your work cut out for you. You've got some time to plan for the event, and I'm sure it will be spectacular.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Takashi.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, a portion of the event coming up on May 15th is going to be performances and music. Another portion is going to be a lot of civic associations that help members of our community throughout the year. So our next guest for the remainder of this day's Spectrum program is Mei Li. She's the executive director of the Chinese Progressive Association of New York.
So the Chinese Progressive Association is based in Chinatown. We're right on Grand Street. And we've been there since the late 70s. So we work with new immigrants. There's a big new immigrant population in Chinatown, and also the Chinese Americans who whose families came here, you know, in the late 1800s. So we provide services there. We have English and citizenship classes. We do a lot of immigration work. And right now, especially, our goal is to involve our community in the decision-making processes that affect their lives. So that includes government. And right now, with all this excitement about the elections and politics, we are registering more Chinese to vote. And we have been doing that since the late 1980s, when many Chinese were not familiar with the voting process.
Is the association part of a national organization of associations similar?
We're a standalone organization, but we do have two sister organizations, one in San Francisco and one in Boston.
Which, of course, makes a lot of sense with mm-hmm. those populations there. Yep. So you're going to be having a booth set up at the event. Tell mm-hmm. us, if people come over to talk to you, what sort of information can you give them?
We'll just be giving out information about our organization, how we serve the community there. We expect there will also be people right from the neighborhood who may want to use our new immigrants who may want to, for example, take English classes or have an immigration problem. But one of the things that we'll be doing is registering more voters. But there's three more elections coming up this year. And for us, for our area, especially in Chinatown, the next one will be in June. So it's a really good time to register voters who haven't been registered before, and also give out information about what's going on this year with the elections.
Of course, it's a national election year, and that's mm-hmm. always a big deal, and that gets all the top billing and mm-hmm. all the press. Off the top of your head, what's the deadline for registering for the national election, for the presidential election?
So the next thing will be the general election, which is November 8th. And the deadline is 25 days before. So I think it's September 20-something. It's a Friday. It's that Friday, last Friday in September.
Okay.
It may be the third Friday.
What sort of segments of the population do you serve? You have people in your office that speak a variety of Chinese dialects and can help pretty much anyone from anywhere in the community?
Yeah, so most of the people we serve are from China. Some are immigrants from Canton, the Toisanese immigrants who are the first ones here. And more recently, there are many Fujianese immigrants, so that's the newest population in Chinatown, although they have been coming here for many years. So in our office, we can speak Mandarin or Cantonese, and there are some who also speak Fujianese.
Yeah, if people want more information about your organization, where can they find it? You have a web address or someplace people can find it?
We do have a website. It is cpanyc.weebly.com. You can come visit our office on Grand Street. It's between Bowery and Elizabeth. You can always give us a call, too, at 212-274-1891.
All right, Mei, thank you so much for coming by our studio, and we look forward to having you participate in the Asian Heritage Festival event. The celebration is going to be on May the 15th. It's going to be on a Sunday. That's from 11 to 4, and I look forward to seeing you there. And we hope we have a big turnout, and we're going to be registering people to vote right there on the spot. Is that going to happen at your table as well as some of the other places?
Yes, well, they're happening at our table. And we also have a fact sheet for Asian Pacific Americans about voting, about all three elections, and just also something about the issues that are at stake for each election. So we have the federal elections. We also have some state and local elections, which are important to participate in as well.
Yes, there's always a lot of down-ballot stuff that doesn't get much attention. Everybody looks at the top of the ballot and see who they want, and then all of a sudden they see another foot and a half of text for the various propositions and offices and judgeships and things like that pop up. So it's good that you're providing that service as well.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, May, for stopping by, and we'll see you on May 15th, if not sooner.
Okay, thank you. See you there.
Okay. Mark the date on your calendar, Sunday, May 15th, starting at 11 a.m., going till 4 in the afternoon on Mott Street in Chinatown, New York City, between Canal Street all the way down to Bowery, a full day of entertainment, informational booths from a variety of Asian cultures, along with the food along the way, and China America Radio will be there too. Watch for us.